Support for this podcast is provided by Total Jobs. For over 20 years, Total Jobs has been helping UK businesses hire the people they need. That's why their customers rate them as excellent on Trustpilot. But it doesn't stop there. Through their expansive global network, you can recruit the people you need wherever you need them. With coverage in 140 countries worldwide, Total Jobs provides you with the best of both worlds. A global player with a local touch, committed to powering your international success. So if you're looking to grow your team, do it with a team you can trust. Total Jobs. Visit totaljobs.com/hiring to find out more and get started today.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 351 of the Recruiting Future podcast. Health and well-being are now at the front and centre of the employee experience, and fast becoming a critical factor in talent acquisition and retention. This is especially true in the retail industry, whose employees have had to face massive amounts of uncertainty during the pandemic and genuine concerns about their personal safety. Next week, retail industry charity Retail Trust is holding an online event to champion the health and well-being of the retail workforce following the reopening of non-essential shops across the UK. As part of the build-up to the event, I spoke to Chris Brooke-Carter, CEO of Retail Trust, and Louise Stonier, Chief People Officer at Pets at Home, about the renewed focus on health and well-being in the employee experience. Hi Louise, hi Chris, welcome to the podcast. Absolutely brilliant to have you on the show. Could you just introduce yourselves and tell us what you do?
Absolutely. Hi Matt, great to be on here. Thanks so much for the invitation. I'm Chris Brooke-Carter, the Chief Executive of the Retail Trust. Retail Trust is the largest charity within the sector looking after the health and well-being of everyone involved in the industry. It's been around since 1832. And has since then been at the heart of how the industry cares for and protects and improves the lives of its most valuable asset, its people.
Hi, Matt. Hi, everybody. It's great to be here. So I'm Louise Stonier, and I'm the Chief People and Culture Officer at Pets at Home, which is the largest pet care business in the UK. I'm responsible for the people strategy, but also for our ESG strategy, which is very much a part of our culture. And we're calling that our Better World Pledge. And a key part of that is our people pillar. And a key part of that is well-being of our people.
It's been a very disruptive and incredibly challenging time for everyone over the last 18 months, but in particular, I'm sure, for people working in retail. To put this question to Louise first, what has the pandemic been like for your organisation and your employees, and you know, how have you had to support people?
So I think, you know, it's been very different for different retailers depending upon, you know, the situation that you were placed in. We were designated as an essential retailer right at the start, which meant that our colleagues on the front line, you know, still were going into store, you know, at the very start. We dialed back this time last year, you know, when we were in lockdown, you know, a lot of people were working from home. You know, our colleagues, you know, were going into store day in, day out, and that was, you know, obviously very daunting for them. It was quite an anxious time for them. We prioritised, you know, very early on, our number one priority was keeping our colleagues, our customers and our pets safe. And we very much energised and motivated, you know, all of our colleagues really around that one priority, which was first and foremost, you know, and really communicated down from our leaders. And I think they've had to deal with a tremendous amount. And that's including our colleagues as well in the support office, who suddenly, you know, found themselves their normal way of working, being at home and having to juggle, you know, many things such as care and responsibilities. And, you know, it was a tricky time at the start because there was a huge amount of government guidance coming down the line by the afternoon, it seemed to change every afternoon. And one of the things that, we did, very well at the start was that clear communication and that constant, communicating with urgency, really, with real transparency and honesty.
It's obviously been a really challenging time. Chris, how have other organisations been finding it? What sort of things have you been focusing on as an organisation during pandemic?
Absolutely. Well, as a charity, we've had to respond to an incredible demand, an increase in demand for our services since the start of the pandemic. We offer access to mental health support and financial support to those working within the industry. I think we gave out about £800,000 in non-repayable grants in the last 12 months to those who found themselves in financial distress, which is something like 125% increase year on year. And we conducted around 7,000 counselling sessions for retail colleagues up and down the country, which again, I think was up about 164% year on year. And as Louise said, staff across the country, whether they're in DCs, whether they're driving vans, whether they're at the storefront or in headquarters, have faced an extraordinary sort of coming together of factors that have increased anxiety, depression, and mental health issues, whether it's the fear of falling unwell, whether it's the fear of job losses. We've seen huge amounts of jobs go across the industry in the last 12 months, something like 180,000, I think. And there's, the further threat of redundancies in retailers up and down the country, sadly. So all of this has come together, plus all the things that we've been feeling, the social disconnection that has gone with the pandemic, have come together to make it incredibly difficult for retail workers over the last 12 months. And those things have, as I said, have created a, unfortunately, a bit of a storm of mental health issues for those working in the industry.
We're obviously entering a different phase now. Certainly in the UK, essential and non-essential retail is now open. And whilst it feels things are getting back to normal, we're obviously very far from the normal of the beginning of last year. Louise, what's important to your employees now, and how are you supporting them moving forward? Where is everything right now?
It's really interesting because I've been talking to my buddy stores this week. So each director buddied up with an area during the pandemic. And I've been chatting through with them, about their concerns, what do they see coming down the horizon? And it's just interesting to see where the questions are sort of heading. So things that are sort of on their mind is clearly, what's going to happen once June the 21st arrives. Is that suddenly going to be, no social distancing, masks off, and feeling, anxious about that. But then you get different camps that, really want to embrace that. So I think it's still a very, very individual experience. So in their minds, very much with what is going to happen and what is that going to look like for them when they're working in store. And then you've got colleagues, from support office, from the DCs, how is that going to impact the working environment, when they come back into the office? What is that going to look like as well for them? So, that's very much at the forefront of their minds. And we're working through that at the moment, just continuing with that communication. I think that's been really clear from the start, is letting colleagues know that it's on our agenda. We might not have the answers yet, but letting them know that we're looking at it. And as soon as that we have, further clarity, we'll come back to them, but very much taking on board the feedback that we're getting and building that into the actions that we take. I think that's been really key, is, getting that feedback and showing that, we are building that into, the measures that we put in place.
And are you sort of really focusing on the experience that those employees have while they're at work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, the past 18 months, that colleague experience has been elevated even more so. It's always been important for us at Pets at Home, as it is for many employers. But there's been a huge spotlight on that experience over the past 18 months. And the other big thing that's coming through, our colleagues is, very much wanting to get even more involved in terms of upskilling themselves, particularly when they're managers, to be able to have those, conversations around mental health. So, you know, a big focus of ours is that whole experience in terms of helping our colleagues to really own, you know, their well-being, you know, and what support can we give, you know, because they do want to be really proactive in that space. We found, you know, a real kind of change and spotlight on it over the past 18 months.
And Chris, bringing you back in, obviously, you talked about what your organisation was focused on in terms of supporting the industry during the pandemic. What are you seeing now, and what's your role now?
Well, I think Louise has articulated it really well. The key worry for people now is the uncertainty and the lack of clarity about what the future holds. And we're all facing those challenges. But obviously, with all the jobs that have gone in the sector and the fact that so many retail workers are on the front line, I think that those issues are amplified for workers in the sector. I think if anything good comes out of this, is the fact that the issue of mental health has been placed squarely at the top of the agenda for the industry. And you know, we've been so delighted with the way that the leadership of the sector and Pets at Home are a quite fantastic example of that, have embraced how they look after the mental health of their colleagues going forward. Our role now really is to continue to build a coalition of businesses and leaders and brands who want to champion the health of the sector and those people in it. We'll obviously continue to support individuals and empower them with access to the services that we provide. But again, a big key part of what we're doing is training the industry. We have a series of workshops, both face-to-face and online, that leaders within the industry, all the way through from those at the bottom end of the industry, all the way through to the C-suite, can take part in to help raise the standard and raise the bar of what great leadership looks like around this issue now.
Everything that's sort of that's happened, and the changes that we've seen in daily life, inevitably they're going to have an impact on the retail industry moving forward. Louise, what do you think the future of the industry looks like, and how has the pandemic actually sort of changed things in the medium to long term?
I think, you know, the pandemic has really shown, you know, retail as a real force for good. There are countless stories that, you know, you see of the amazing, you know, extra lengths that, you know, retailers have gone to really support their local communities, but also to support their colleagues. I do think that retail does have a real role to play, as Chris just talked about, that coalition in really rebuilding that resilience back into society. You know, creating jobs and opportunities, because there are still, you know, many jobs and opportunities in retail across all different spectrums of, you know, different areas. And I think the other big role that retailers have to play is really guiding consumers, you know, as we're seeing already, in making, you know, real sustainable choices. So I think, you know, building that resilience and that recoverability, particularly into those local communities, you know, is a real role that retailers can play well into.
And do you think that health and well-being are absolutely a key part of who you are as a company and your sort of employment brand now?
Oh gosh, absolutely. I mean, it's been a part, you know, for many years. I think there's just been a huge spotlight on it for, you know, the past 18 months during the pandemic. It's really interesting. So we have two kind of sets, kind of divisions in our organisation, because a big part of our pet care business is our veterinary profession as well, you know, operating our stores and standalone. And I was talking to the graduates that we take on about 80 each year, about why they chose us. You know, why did you choose to come to, you know, the Vets for Pets at Pets at Home? And the thing that they all say is because, you know, you put well-being right at the centre. So when we come for our induction, you're not talking about anything else first other than how we're going to help support their well-being. So it's so crucial for that attraction and retention of talent.
Chris, sort of bringing you in on those questions, what do you think the future of the industry looks like, and what should the focus on health and well-being be moving forward?
Well, I think first and foremost, the retail industry has clearly got a huge role to play in terms of how we build that better. This is the biggest private sector employer in the country. It particularly is the largest employer of young people in the country. So many of the social economic issues that the country is going to face in terms of how it emerges from this pandemic are going to be met by the retail industry. And clearly people are retail's greatest asset. So going out into the market and reminding the country again of what an amazing job the retail industry has done to look after its people, but also reminding the industry what an amazing job retail has done to support the country during this pandemic, making sure that the essential stores have remained open and all of those sorts of things, I think is incredibly important. And health and wellness are part of an agenda now that I think is more and more important in terms of brand recognition. Consumers want to shop at companies that have values that they can identify with. Investors want to be invested in companies that have great values. And as I say, I think health and wellbeing are going to be critical parts of any CSR strategy for a retailer at the moment. So I think this is a really important time, which is why we are so keen to build this coalition, build this set of brands and people who can rally around the Retail Trust and rally around our cause to champion health, hope and happiness within the industry and really put the retail industry in the kind of spotlight that it deserves as a sector that genuinely cares for and looks after its people.
Fantastic stuff. I mean, that's absolutely brilliant work that you're doing. Sticking with you, Chris, and sticking on that topic of people. As we move forward, what sort of challenges is the retail industry having in terms of attracting, you know, new people to work in retail? Is that proving difficult as everyone's rehiring? And what are people sort of doing to deal with those challenges?
Well, I think there's no doubt that over the last few years, retail has been through the ringer. Particularly before the pandemic, it seemed every week there was another set of headlines of a company that was going under, or there was some unfortunate association with leadership issues within the industry from certain individuals as well, which didn't necessarily paint retail in the greatest light. But as I say, actually, I think the pandemic has shown what a critical industry this is to the UK and has done such an extraordinary job. It's really been seen as being on the front line, being one of those sectors alongside the NHS that has allowed the industry, the country, to keep functioning. And I think that the industry should see that and remind the government, remind society of the important role it plays. Many of the retailers have done some outstanding work in their communities. We've been supported in an absolutely fantastic way by so many companies over the last 12 months who have either donated to us or have helped amplify our message. Some of the grocers have helped feed our residents on some of our estates where we look after retired retail workers. So there's been some fantastic work, and I really hope that it helps reposition the sector as an industry where young people in particular can have just amazing careers. It's still one of the most meritocratic industries in the country. You genuinely can go from working in a store on a Saturday all the way to being the chief executive of some of the biggest brands in the country. And I hope that this pandemic helps reset that narrative and sort of reclaims retail's position as the great industry within the UK that it is.
Yeah, I just want to echo that, Chris. Absolutely fantastic. Retail has been that platform for social mobility, you know, for so many years. As Chief Executive, Peter Pritchard, he started off as a Saturday colleague. I think he was at M&S and has worked his way all the way up, didn't go to university, to CEO of our organisations. Just so many fantastic examples of that. I just think, you know, we need to make sure we continue with that.
Louise, as an employer, do you see challenges in talent acquisition ahead? What do you think is going
to
happen?
I mean, I have to be honest, as a retailer, we are not struggling to attract. So, you know, as an individual company, we see an abundance of talent out there. I think the challenge is just making sure we're attracting, you know, a real diverse set of talent and making sure we're tapping into that really wide talent pool that is out there. And there's lots of, you know, different ways that, you know, retailers can do that. We've partnered with the Prince's Trust, you know, to help us to tap into a wide network of talent. We're working with them on the Kickstart program. And we've just launched that scheme because we do know that, you know, we're not necessarily always getting to that diverse talent that, you know, we could bring into our organisation.
Chris, just as a final question, I mean, tell us about the event you're running next week. What is it involved and how can people connect with it?
Absolutely. Well, it's an event to coincide with Mental Health Awareness Month. And the idea of the event is to champion the cause of mental health within the sector. We've got content going on for everyone, from those that are building a strategy within the industry, building a mental health strategy, wellness strategy within their people, all the way down to individuals who want to learn how to improve their mental health, improve their resilience. And as well as Louise, who's joining us next week, we'll be hearing from around 20 retail leaders, including the chief execs of Morrisons, of ASOS and the British Retail Consortium, and Tony Blair's former advisor, Alistair Campbell, as well, who gives a very candid interview on how he's dealt with his mental health struggles as well. So it's a fantastic 2 days. It's free to attend to anyone who wants to sign up. And the hope is, as I say, that it allows us to amplify our message, help individuals to deal with their mental health, and really continue to raise the debate and the standard of the conversation around mental health, to put it squarely at the way that the retail industry conducts itself.
Chris and Louise, thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
My thanks to Chris and Louise. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list to get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.